Hey, yo, listen, it's going down just like this.
Spread the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to this beautiful Saturday. I'm Tiffany Bacon. Thanks for coming by. Hopefully you'll stick around for a while because we're going to be talking about the upcoming elections. Have you been so deep into your world that you're not aware that there's an election coming up next week? I know a lot of people are, but then there are quite a few people who are well aware. So we're going to talk to both of you. And we're also going to talk to our good friend Denise Clay. She's going to give us the rundown on who's running for what and what we need to be aware of come election day. So stay with us. Let me give you the phone number. It's 215-263-1039. Are you going to vote next week? That is my question. Opening question for you, my listening audience. Are you going to vote next week? Why or why not? 215-263-1039. Stay there. We're going to have a moment of inspiration.
For some who don't understand our purpose and may not understand our praise, we as a family in Jesus' name would like to tell you the reason why we sing. Family.
Someone asked a question. Why do we sing? When we lift our hands to Jesus, what do we really mean? Someone may be wondering when sing a song. At times we may be crying, and nothing's even wrong.
I sing because I'm happy.
I sing because I'm happy.
I sing
because I'm free.
His eyes on
the star.
I want to know if you can help me say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason.
You're the reason why I sing.
Come on, say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're the reason why I sing.
Can we say it again? Someone asked.
Someone asked a question.
Oh, glory. Why do we sing?
Why do we sing?
When we lift our hands. Oh, what do we really mean?
What do we really mean?
Someone may be wondering.
Someone may be wondering.
When we sing our song.
When we sing our song.
At times we may.
At times we may be crying.
And nothing's even wrong.
And nothing's even wrong.
This is the reason why I sing the chorus. In here. Glory!
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason, Jesus.
You're the reason why I sing.
I know I'm right about it. I just want to say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
I give the praises to you.
I give the praises to you.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason why.
You're the reason why I sing.
Listen, and when the song is over, we've all said amen.
We've all said amen.
And your heart just keep on singing.
And your heart just keep on singing.
And the song will never
and
end.
And the song will never
listen,
end.
Listen, and if somebody asked you.
And if somebody asked you.
Was it just a show?
Was it just a show?
Lift your hands and be a witness.
Lift your hands and be a witness.
And tell the whole world no.
And tell the whole
listen.
World no.
When we cross that river,
and when we cross that river,
to study war no more. We will sing.
We will sing our songs to Jesus. Yeah.
The one whom we adore.
The one whom we adore.
Come on, family, let's take it home. I sing because.
I sing because.
I sing because.
I sing because.
I don't know why he does it, but
his eye is on the staff.
That's the reason, y'all.
That's the reason why.
If you let me say it one more time, can I say glory? You're my melody at midnight, Jesus. You're my song in my storm, Jesus. You're the hymn in my heart, Jesus. You're the reason why. I love your name, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. For the rest of my life, Jesus, you'll be the reason why I sing.
You're the reason why I sing. Love that, love that, love that. Well, good morning. I'm Tiffany Bacon. Welcome to Praise in the City. I thank you so much for joining me this morning. And we are talking politics today. Why? Because, hey, it's important. It's around our it surrounds our lives. It is important. So we are going to discuss it. Pardon me. And here to help me discuss it is my dear friend and friend to the show, Miss Denise Clay. Denise, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How you doing?
Not that. It's kind of ironic that you were playing this Kirk Franklin song, you know, prior to discussing politics.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
The argument could be made that, you know, politicians, some of these guys need God. Wackiness, really.
Okay, well, we're going to get into all that wackiness for those who are unaware, who've been just dealing with their lives and family, haven't looked up for 5 seconds to see what's going on. And for those who are very, you know, astute and know exactly what's going on, we have a bit of discussion for everybody this morning. And again, let me give you the phone number, my listening audience. It's 215-263-1039. Sorry, I don't know what's going on with me. I don't know if it's allergies or whatever, but if I sound a little froggy, I'm going to apologize right now. So call in. I want to know, are you going to vote in the upcoming election? Why or why not? And even if your question is, what election? Ask it. 215-263-1039. All right. So, Denise, let's start off with what election? What election is coming up next week? What are people voting for?
May primary. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the Pennsylvania primary. For those of you who don't completely understand the political process, you have a primary election, which sets up the candidates who will be running in the general election, and that's usually in November. Mm-hmm. A primary election, at least in Pennsylvania, means that people from the political parties vote for their representatives, which means if you want to vote for the person who's going to be running for governor as a Democrat, mm-hmm. you must be a registered Democrat in order to participate in that primary. Mm-hmm. If you're a Republican that wants to vote for a representative running for governor and on the Republican ticket, you have to be a Republican. You have to be registered as a Republican. Now, this time around, mm-hmm. because there is an opening in city council, former city councilman at large Bill Green is now the chair of the school reform commission. He had to resign. Mm-hmm. There's also a special election for city council that's going, Philadelphia City Council that's going on this time around, mm-hmm. in addition to three ballot questions.
Okay, and what are those?
The ballot questions are, glad you asked, one is a ballot question that would mandate a living wage here in the city of Philadelphia. The question is sponsored by Councilman W. Wilson Good Jr. Mm-hmm. And what it would do is require employees that are doing business with the city mm-hmm. to pay workers a living wage, which is at least $10.88 per hour. In order for you to get a contract as a subcontractor with the city, mm-hmm. you would have to pay your workers no less than $10.88 an hour mm-hmm. in order to get that.
Okay.
The second ballot question actually kind of governs political officials here in the city. Mm-hmm. There's a rule right now that says if you want to run for office, say you're the mayor of Philadelphia mm-hmm. and you want to run for governor, you would first have to resign the office of mayor in order to do it.
Okay.
And that means that no matter what happens, if you win, cool, you're running for governor. If not, you're unemployed.
Right.
second ballot question would change the resign to run rule, meaning that you wouldn't have to quit your current job to run for your present job. Mm-hmm. And we can talk a little bit more about that when we talk about the people running for governor okay. this time around, because two of them, Allison Schwartz mm-hmm. and Rob McCord, already have jobs. And okay. they didn't have to resign from what they're currently doing politically mm-hmm. to run for governor.
Okay, so I'm going to pause you right there. If you're just tuning in, it's Praise in the City. We're talking about the upcoming election, as our dear friend Denise Clay is explaining. It's a primary election. We're talking about what that means, who's running, and I want to know if you are going to vote next week. Give me a call, 215-263-1039. Let's go to the phones. Let's speak with Shelly calling in from Philadelphia. Shelly, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, and God bless you.
God bless you, too. Breathing on schedule. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm with my son. I'm about to drop him to his daycare.
Awesome.
I thank God for every day. I thank God for my family. I thank God for my husband. What I'm discussing right now is the politics. I am going to vote. Mm-hmm. People have to understand, whether or not we like who's running, we have to vote, you know. Mm-hmm. Because then next time we can be heard and try to find a right candidate. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, what is the right candidate? Because they promise this, they promise that, and nothing happens. Because it's not really what they can do, it's really who they're against, who's going against them. And, mm-hmm. and like the president, if there's things that he cannot do, if they vote against it, mm-hmm. the promise is that he's going to try to get this done. Mm-hmm. And hopefully Congress will come together and vote on whatever decision.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the governors. Rob McCord, I never heard of none of these people because I've been living in Pennsylvania for 3 years.
Okay.
So I don't know any one of them.
Okay.
I think Rob McCord to me is more approachable because it is a racist thing. He's married to a black lady. I look at it that way.
Mm.
And if you're married to a black person, then you'll pretty much understand what the black community feels than versus someone who's just all white American who mm-hmm. has no idea, who's never been poor in their life, who has no clue what the people on the bottom need.
Well, you know, there are plenty of poor white folks.
Huh?
There are plenty of, if you're talking about class or if you're talking about race, so there are plenty of people.
Both.
Okay.
Both class and race.
Okay.
Because they are hand in hand.
Okay.
Because if you look at it, the majority of Philadelphia, the poor is black and Spanish as well. So unfortunately, it is black, the race, color, and as well as the class.
Okay.
Poor people are suffering very bad. This country, I don't know what else we can do, but we need to start voting for the right people,
mm-hmm.
and or new people that are fresh who have. We need to get rid of these old, long-time politicians,
mm-hmm.
because they bring the old, back in the days view, and
okay.
it's not good for us at all because it's not benefiting no one who's on the bottom. I can't consider myself poor. I'm okay, but I'm not middle class.
Okay.
I'm in the middle between poor and middle class.
Okay.
I have a car and I have a place. I guess that's considered better than none.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not in, you know, government assistance. I have a husband,
mm-hmm.
and I think, you know, two income is better than one, and that's working out for us.
Mm-hmm.
But for other people who's a single mother or a single father, who has to get assistance, who has to get help,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially minimum wage, they should raise the minimum wage to
right.
For those single parents. They
so,
need that extra money to even save.
Right.
Save on a $6, $7 budget.
So hold on one second, Shelley, because you are very passionate, and we appreciate that because that's why we're talking about these things. You know, we have to be passionate about the issues and participate in the process and all that. My guest, Denise Clay, is on the phone. Just want to give her a second to see if she had any response to anything that she was saying.
Okay.
Well, actually, your caller makes a lot of very, very valid points.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that once we touch on the whole governor's race,
mm-hmm.
we can talk to one point that she makes in particular, and that's the point of you can promise just about anything you want when you're running for office. That's the beautiful thing of running for office. But we have a bicameral system here where you have the legislative branch and you have the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say that you want to do anything, but getting that through, but you have to convince other people to go with you. And one of the major issues that's been coming up in this particular election is education funding. Everybody finally realizes, and I've been covering education for a while, so I was wondering, you know, what took them so long. Everybody finally realizes that the way that we fund education in Pennsylvania is untenable. Because we do it based on property taxes, and you'll have some places where the houses are worth more, so you get more money in property taxes. And then you have places like Philadelphia where you have a 10-year tax abatement on mm-hmm. most of our really high-end properties, which means you're not getting any tax revenue, which means you can't pay as much for your schools. The state no longer contributes as much as it used to the education of our kids. In fact, the state contribution has gone from 50% in the 80s to where it's like 36% now, and that's up from the 19% it was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you have education is an issue, and everybody has a plan that they want to use to fund it. And most of that plan includes taxing Marcellus shale drilling. Now, no matter who becomes governor, whether Governor Tom Corbett wins re-election or one of the Democrats that are vying for the right to run against him, you know, becomes the new governor, you are still going to have to deal with a mostly Republican legislature that never met a tax increase it didn't want to reject.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see whether the dynamics of education funding change, but that's kind of the point that your caller was making.
Mm-hmm.
You can promise anything you want. It's getting the people who actually make the rules
right.
to agree with you on it.
All right. And Shelley, we just wanted to say thank you so much for your response, and definitely thank you for listening to us this morning on your way to dropping your baby doll off.
Oh, thank you so much. I just want to say one more thing about what she just said. First of all, if you're going to tax, don't tax on the poor. We don't have the money. Tax on the rich. Because even if they raise the minimum wage, the taxes are still high for people like me and other workers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember I made a $2,000, you know, I worked very hard in a nursing home, and I made $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they took almost $600 from me.
And I was working so hard just to try to make that extra $500
mm-hmm.
so I could use towards something for my son. And it was gone, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was very upset. I said, well, why can't they do that to the rich?
Mm-hmm.
We're poor. We need to, and you're talking about saving. Okay, how am I going to do that? Mm-hmm. Everything's high.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to do that? And unfortunately, even if they raise the minimum wage, we'll still be okay, but not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to lower the taxes and tax somewhere else, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then,
wait, hold on, Shelly, because I want to make sure we get other callers in, and I am going to have to ask Denise several other questions. But we hear you, and perhaps she'll speak to that in terms of what some of the other candidates are proposing that they will do about what you're saying, okay?
And one more thing.
Shelly, I'm going to need you to hold on. So, okay. Denise, in terms of taxation, what are the candidates who are running for governor or running to be able to run for governor? Let's outline who they are and what are they proposing.
Okay. Well, like the big ticket race for this particular primary is the governor's race, because the governor's up for re-election. There are four people on the Democratic side vying for the right to run against Tom Corbett, who's going to be running for re-election as a Republican. The candidates include former State Revenue Secretary Tom Wolf, who's the current frontrunner, former State Environmental Protection Secretary Katie McGinty, current State Treasurer Rob McCord, and Pennsylvania Congresswoman Allison Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, basically, following the Democratic primary this time around, which I have, it's been its own traveling circus, you have four people who are not really far apart on the issues. And the big issue, like I said before, has been education. Because, like I said, everybody is finally realizing what folks in Philadelphia have been able to tell you for years. The way we fund education in Pennsylvania is absolutely nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the big contribution that they all want to make to this is the taxing of Marcellus shale drilling. Now, for those of you in our audience who don't know what that is, further north of here, there are places where you can drill for natural gas, and from the Marcellus Shale. And right now, Pennsylvania is the only state where Marcellus Shale drilling is going on, where there is no tax on it. The communities that have Marcellus Shale drilling spots are paid an impact fee for the environmental impact and the, we can't drive on this road today because you have a whole bunch of big trucks, you know, drilling stuff and going on the way impact, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Pennsylvania doesn't charge a tax. When Marcellus shale drillers came to the state a few years back, Tom Corbett, who's the current governor, said, okay, you can drill, but we're only going to charge you an impact fee. We're not going to tax you.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did was keep the state from getting several billion dollars that it could have collected in taxes,
mm-hmm.
money that could have gone to education. Now, because, like I said, the Republicans in the legislature never met a tax they didn't want to cut,
mm-hmm.
when Corbett became governor, they cut several. And if you don't understand exactly what your taxes do,
mm-hmm.
for a municipality, the taxes you pay to basically make sure that things run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you pay tax for schools to run. You pay tax for your roads not to have large potholes. You got to pay for that somehow. Anything that you do, you know, anything that your municipality does, taxes are collected so that it can be done by the people you either elect or appoint to do it.
Okay.
And when you cut taxes and you don't replace the money that you cut from from that tax, that you take from that tax cut some other way,
mm-hmm.
things don't get done. Like, you can't necessarily make sure that the kids have books for school, and I've mm-hmm. heard stories like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't make sure that the potholes are closed up in the road,
mm-hmm.
and you can't make sure that there's no flooding in places that are flood prone.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a reason why you pay taxes, and when you have an industry like Marcellus Shale that is basically taking natural gas out of our land,
mm-hmm.
and yet is selling that gas for a not inexpensive chunk of change,
mm-hmm.
and you're not getting any of that back, that suddenly means, you know, people have suddenly started to think, well, this might not be a good idea.
Right.
That we might be able to use the money that, we might be able to use the tax funding from what they're getting for what they were being paid for this Marcellus Shale gas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe we could use that to, I don't know, make sure that our schools don't close.
Amen. And they're talking about more of that, right? So
right.
Let's continue to give more background on the people who are running for the primary for governor and talk about what's going on with the city council. I want to give you, my listening audience, a chance to call in twofold. One, do you have any questions for Denise? Do you have any questions about the candidates or even why you should vote in the upcoming election? Question two, are you planning to vote next week? Give me a call, 215-263-1039. Stay with us. Praise in the City returns after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station. Now back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
All right, and we're back. Second half of the show, we're talking about politics today. There is a primary election coming up next week, so we're talking about the importance of it, who's running for what, and just kind of dissecting the candidates. So if you don't know much about who's running, our girl Denise Clay is going to outline that for you. But we are taking your phone calls. One, if you have any questions for Denise about this election, about who's running, this is a good time to call because we're only on for a few more minutes. Also, I want to know, are you going to vote next week? Why or why not? No question is a dumb question, so feel free to call 215-263-1039. Let's go to John, calling in from Center City. John, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, and I've got to say I'm a big fan of Denise Clay's. I woke up early in this morning because I love Denise Clay and her analysis.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
So I'll tell you what, the reason I called is Denise Clay really observes very well the effects of race in an election. And Rob McCord is the one who decided to inject the topic of race into the election with his commercial about Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially guilt by association because Wolf did not decide to abandon his chosen candidate, even though the candidate was a racist and Wolf knew this. My question for you is this. Will this ultimately have any effect on Wolf? Because it seems that it's backfired. It may be hurting McCord. It may be rallying the troops around Wolf. And then later on, if Wolf does win the primary, what role are we going to see race having in the election? And I do want to point out that Governor Corbett has injected his biracial grandson into ads that he's been running. So I'm just very curious, what role will race play in the primary and then the general election?
Good question. Denise?
Well, here's the thing. I attended a candidates forum sponsored by another radio station on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a section of the forum in which was geared toward issues regarding the African American community that I tagged, this is some of my best friends are black question.
Mm.
Because over the last 2 weeks, as John said, there have been ads running that have kind of connected the front runner, Tom Wolf, with a incident incident that happened in York, Pennsylvania in 1969. It was a race riot, and a black woman was killed. Mm-hmm. And the mayoral candidate that Wolf was working with at the time got arrested because he was a police officer during that time, and it was alleged that he had given ammunition and you know, other things to the people who were kind of on the wrong end of the race riot.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, one, this happened in 1969. I was 5 years old. So, you know, you're basically bashing somebody over something that happened when I was in kindergarten.
Mm.
And the thing is, I understand that to some that might be a failure of judgment, but it's a failure of judgment over something that you couldn't really control. However, it brought up a lot of issues that hadn't been discussed in the campaign, stuff like unemployment in the African-American community, education, but it looked at education in terms of disparities between black and white students. And it looked at things like, you start looking at things like the prison system and sentencing and different things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a question that I asked the candidates when I saw them later that night. Why is it that you're bringing this up now when you had an entire campaign to talk about these issues and fold them in?
Mm-hmm.
To kind of get to John's point, race is going to play a part in this election, even in November when whoever wins the Democratic primary goes against Corbett in the general.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to play a part, but it'll be interesting to see what part that is. It'll be interesting because this would be an unconventional kind of way to, as they say, it played a race card.
Mm.
Because you have two very white candidates that are probably going to end up running for this office. And if you look at race in such a way where you're saying basically some of my best friends are black or some of my kids are black, that's going to make black people kind of give you the side eye.
Mm.
Because you're not really addressing our issues. You're just pandering to us. And we're kind of at a point as a community where mm-hmm. we're becoming a lot more sophisticated in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we're saying, okay, you can say that some of your best friends are black, but what are you doing for them?
All right. Good points, John. Thank you so much for the phone call, and thanks for checking in with the program this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Let's go to Vince calling in from New Jersey. Vince, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, Tiffany. How you doing?
Good, good, good. How are you?
Great.
Awesomeness. Great. All right. What's your comment or question?
Well, in my comment, yes, I am voting. You know, I'm really not happy with politics today because, well, let's look at our president. I mean, we've got the same situation where we have a president who wants to do something for us, yet the people cannot vote in some people to back him so that we can get a lot of things done. And as the previous caller said, I think that the politicians are just pandering to the African-American vote or the vote who represent that small minority that mm-hmm. they tend to need to be elected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that any of them have really truly hit any of our hard issues. Yes, they're talking about funding for school, but you know, the school cuts have been across the board. It hasn't just been, you know, like with the black schools, although they do get the deepest cuts.
Mm-hmm.
But that issue has, you know, nothing to do with, you know, let's look at getting back some money into job development, some money into some more job training. Some more help with getting kids into college rather than sitting up here saying, okay, you know, I got a couple of black people who work for me and, you know, I'm black friendly. Let's say, you know, if you are really, truly black friendly, put an issue on the table and stick to it that can help out the black community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Denise, what do you have to say to that?
Well, first of all, I love the phrase black friendly. I'm going to use that in one of my columns. I'm just letting you know that right now. second of all, what we sometimes fail to realize when we talk about these kinds of things, while they may have more of an impact on communities of color, they are a universal thing. There are 16 school districts outside of Philadelphia, here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, that are finding themselves in financial trouble. And I think that's why folks are starting to look at education and how we fund it here with a little bit of a side eye, because it's not just communities of color, and folks are finally getting that. A lot of these issues are universal. Poverty is universal. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you look at it statistically from the federal perspective, there are more white people collecting welfare and getting food stamps than people of color, based purely on the fact that there are more of them in the population.
Mm-hmm.
And folks are finally starting to see that these issues are universal. But your caller is also right. As somebody who follows politics and who covers politics, after a while, you get tired of hearing canned speech.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you do what I do, you know that it's canned almost immediately. You're like, oh, okay, you know, somebody, you know, some political consultant tested this with this candidate and found that it would have resonance with this particular group.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Vince, thank you so much for your phone call, and definitely thank you for checking out the program today.
Hey, you know, I love everything that has bacon in it.
You are oh so funny. Thank you so much. You have a beautiful day. All right. So listen, the phone lines are open if you have a question for our guest, Denise Clay, about this primary election coming up, or if you just want to call and let me know, are you planning to vote in the primary this week? Give us a call, 215-263-1039, 215-263-1039. All right, Denise, so who are these people who are running for governor?
All right, here are the people who are running for governor. Well, we have the incumbent governor, Governor Tom Corbett. He used to be the attorney general. He ran 4 years ago as a Republican and won the office.
And can I just get a quick rundown of what he had, like kind of what he has and has not done since he's been in office?
What I've learned about the current people who are running as Republicans in this country is if they tell you they're going to do something, believe them,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to do it.
Okay.
If Tom Corbett came in and said that he was going to cut taxes, he did it.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and said that he wasn't going to take the Medicaid expansion money as part of Obamacare. He didn't. In fact, he was the lawyer or the name that was on the lawsuit that was filed to keep the Affordable Care Act from becoming law.
Mm.
The Marcellus, we have more people drilling for Marcellus Shale,
mm-hmm.
because that was something he promised. And, I mean, he's pretty much done what he set out to do. Of course, what that has meant for people around the Commonwealth, good or bad, depends on who you talk to.
Mm.
But
okay.
So he's the incumbent.
Yes.
The people who are running against him are Tom Wolf, who was the state revenue secretary under Ed Rendell,
mm-hmm.
for I think it was a year, maybe two. And he also is the owner of a family-owned cabinet-making business. So chances are, if you have kitchen cabinets in your house and you're looking at them, you are looking at something that Tom Wolf's family business put together.
Mm.
Next, we have former State Environmental Protection Secretary Katie McGinty. She worked, she too worked under Rendell as Environmental Secretary, and she also worked for Bill in the Clinton administration for the EPA.
Okay.
The next person is current state treasurer Rob McCord, who was a Philadelphia area businessman before he ran for that job. And last but not least, and probably the name that more people know the most, is Congresswoman Allison Schwartz. She's a longtime Politico here in the Philadelphia area. She was state senator. She's currently a congresswoman.
Mm-hmm.
She worked with the Department of Human Services under Mayor Wilson Good, and she's kind of been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, the front runner is Wolf, who has been financing his own campaign. He put $10 million of his own money in the campaign. Now, whether that was actually his own money, according to an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer, a lot of that was a loan that he took out to run for governor.
Okay.
But he's the current front runner, and some polls have him as much as 20 points ahead of the other three people running against him, which is kind of where the ad that John referenced about, that Rob McCord put out about Wolf's issues in York.
Right.
That's kind of why those ads were designed to kind of dirty him up a little bit, as they say in politics,
mm-hmm.
to question his ability to lead. And they haven't really had that much of an impact. But a part of the reason why they haven't had that much of an impact is, despite the fact that these folks have been running for this office for going on a year now,
mm-hmm.
39% of the Democratic electorate in the Commonwealth is still undecided as to who they're going to vote for in this primary for governor, despite, like I said, they've been on the campaign trail for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
People still don't know who they're going to vote for, and the election is Tuesday. So
now, how much of that is people just don't know who they are because they haven't made a big impact?
I think part of it is a lack of impact, because for a while there, the only person you saw on television, the only person that was running ads, was Tom Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing he did that ended up, helping him out a lot with African Americans is he chose to run ads at 10 o'clock on Thursday night.
Scandal.
Now, exactly. for those folks in your listening audience,
mm-hmm.
who do not know, Scandal, starring Kerry Washington, is on at 10 o'clock on Thursday night. And if you call most African Americans, particularly African American women,
mm-hmm.
on a Thursday night at 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and it's not to talk about Scandal, you're going to hear some words that are very ungodly. One of the things that Wolf did that was very, very smart,
mm-hmm.
is that he put several ads every Thursday night telling you who he was on during Scandal. And I was like, okay, then you're serious, because you know where to reach us.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're expecting in terms of turnout for this election,
mm-hmm.
Is roughly 25% here in Philadelphia. And how that's significant is that the southeastern part of the state, which includes Philadelphia, Montgomery County, Delaware County, Bucks County, this part of the Commonwealth,
mm-hmm.
this is where most of the people are.
Right.
And usually how we go, so goes the state.
Right.
That's why, Barack Obama can win the state of Pennsylvania, can win the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
because most of the people in the Southeast voted for him.
Right.
And if the Southeast has a large turnout, then they usually decide who the person running is going to be.
Mm.
They're only expecting 25% turnout here.
Okay, wait.
Really small.
Yeah, very, very small. So that's why we're having this conversation today, to see if people are actually going to get up and vote, and why it's so important for this to happen on Tuesday. Let's go back to the phones briefly. We have Vince calling back again. Hey, Vince.
Hey, Tiff.
Yeah.
She made a comment about Corbett and keeping his promises, and that's true. He did keep his promises. But what I think one of the important things that we should look for in our next candidate is not the fact of them keeping their promises, but finding out how they are going to act out their promises. I mean, yeah, he did cut taxes, But he did it by killing our school district, and, you know, instead of funding the school, he funded a huge prison. He did keep his promise. But his promises and keeping it, who does it affect when he makes those cuts?
All right. Good point. Good point, Vince. Good point. Thank you so much for calling back on that. Final thoughts, Denise, about what Vince said and about why it's important for us to get out there on Tuesday and vote in the primary.
Well, Vince is absolutely right. It's one thing to promise to do something, but if you're making that promise and it's a promise that's going to hurt people, you really need to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And I think that why it's important to vote is because voting is the least arduous part of what you are supposed to do as a citizen. That's the small stuff. If you vote, you have done the absolute minimum, mm-hmm. and that's fine. You can, but only through voting can you do the follow-up that you need to do, which is staying on top of the people you vote for,
mm-hmm.
saying, hey, you promised this. Where do we stand on it?
Mm-hmm.
Or you said you were going to do that. Where do we stand on it? There's a whole lot of accountability that doesn't take place in politics.
Mm-hmm.
We tend not to stay on the backs of our political officials after we vote them in. But the most important thing is that we have to vote. Because in a lot of ways, and this is just the cynic in me coming out,
mm-hmm.
I think that they rely on people not holding them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is look at the House of Representatives, the Federal House of Representatives, and you see this.
Well.
And you know, people need to understand that voting is the minimum.
Yeah.
Once you vote, you can go to whoever you just put in office or who just got elected and say, hey, you are accountable to me.
All right. Good way to end the show today. Denise, thank you so much for your insight, for clarification on what's going on, and also for the emphasis on why we need to show up at the polls on Tuesday. Thank you so much, Mama.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. I appreciate you. Much love going out to our offsite producer, Donovan West, and our in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Stay close. Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.